Hello and welcome to Mosaic. And today we have a very special guest, and she is Dr. Zakiya Al-Busaidi. She's a family medicine practitioner, and along with it, very interestingly, she practices psychotherapy. Welcome to our program, Mosaic, and most importantly, congratulations on your book launch.
Oh, thank you, Lakshmi. I'm happy to be here.
And it's amazing that, you know, you've been in this field for the last 25 years.
So, more, actually.
Okay. Yes. How many years would you say?
Well, it depends, because we start our practice as junior with internship, and then we do our specialty as junior doctors.
Right.
I did my specialty in family medicine, and I got the MRCGP International, which is the UK membership of the Royal College of General Practitioners, UK. And after that, I practiced for a while at Sultan Qaboos University before going for my PhD.
Okay.
So it's more than 25 years if we include...
Look good into all of that. Yes, very good. So you should be celebrating a lot of anniversaries now. But most importantly, you have been able to evolve medicine and medical practice actually by understanding that, okay, it is developed in a certain culture, but to adapt it to the culture of Oman.
Yes.
So tell us, how was that journey?
I totally believe when I was a medical student, I was aware of where I am and why I'm doing what I'm doing. Mm. I was fully aware that I'm an Omani medical student studying in Oman. Yes, studying Western medicine, but I was very clear about the purpose why I do that. The purpose is to help Omani patients. Of course, there are patients from other countries as well, but the main goal, because we were one of the first batches in Sultan Qaboos University College of Medicine.
Fantastic.
I was on the one of the students in the third
batch.
Yes.
How interesting.
Yes. So I think
that must have been very exciting time.
Very exciting, very exciting time. Actually, I did not consider at all going abroad to study. Mm. I was so focused on getting into Sultan Qaboos University, since I learned as a student that there's going to be a local university.
Yeah.
So that was very clear to me. And studying Western medicine was a tool to help Omani patients. My own people. So keeping that in mind, the part of medicine that I study, the knowledge, the skills, the experience needs to be applicable within the Omani culture. We need to remember the society, the cultural beliefs, and the environment our patients living in. And that was one of the reasons why I chose family medicine, because family medicine has a holistic approach to healthcare.
Okay.
In family medicine, we take care of the patient as a whole, and not just the physical side, but the physical, mental, psychological, and environmental, including the society. The place where the patient lives, the whole family, the genetic part, the relationships. So that's what I loved about, and I still love about, family medicine.
It's interesting you pointed that out, Doctor, because we were attending the conference on climate change, and we had experts from different organizations talk, and they talked about the climate change and the challenge on food security, and the food security's issue relating to health because of the lack of nutrition, and the Arab countries are really facing it and tackling it, because even the sickle cells can be related to this, she said, the spokesperson, because of dependency on more of carbohydrates and not protein. So it just goes on to say how the spectrum is so wide when you look at family medicine.
Yes, exactly. You cannot separate the patient or the person from the environment where they live. We saw that during COVID. You saw how it is important, the environment, when it comes to, for example, prevention of disease. And the psychological aspect of what was going on during lockdowns, for example, that affected health as well. So that was an example of how health has different aspects to it. And concepts related to health are not just related to physical health.
And is this how you brought in the psychotherapy? You felt it was important?
Actually, okay, so while doing my PhD, I chose a topic that is a bit challenging because there aren't so many, like, there isn't enough literature related to it. So I'll tell you what it is about. Yeah. The topic of my PhD was psychosomatic medicine. It was called somatization, and now it is called somatic symptom disorders. And
like irritable bowel syndrome, a lot of say.
I know what I said doesn't make any sense, so I'll explain it.
Okay.
Actually, there isn't even like one specific word in Arabic to translate.
Psychosomatic.
Yes. Mm. So I'll explain what it is in a simple way.
Which is your trademark. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
From practice, and I'm sure every one of us has this experience of feeling physical symptoms in the body that we cannot make sense of. We go to the doctor, and the doctor does all the investigations, and they tell us there is nothing wrong. Mm. They sometimes even say there is nothing wrong with you.
Yes.
It is not true, because there is something wrong with you. You feel it in your body.
Yes.
Yes. So some symptoms cannot be explained based on the categories related to physical diseases, organic diseases. Mm. And everybody goes through this sometime during their life. Some people get it more often, that they have physical symptoms that have no explanation, like more than others.
So, and they feel sad that no one understands them.
Exactly. No one understands them. And sometimes others they even say, tell them, you just forget about
it. Yeah, and you're imagining it.
Or you are imagining it. Yes. So this was the topic of my PhD. I had maybe a different approach to it. I did my research as a qualitative research.
Okay.
So the focus was not really to get numbers to tell us like how common it is, but to get into in-depth analysis of how do people feel, what do they do when they have these symptoms, where do they go for help, what helps them to feel better. And from there, while doing my PhD, I did it actually at the Division of Psychiatry, University of Nottingham. I started like developing interest into, okay, now I know all of this. How can I help people who have this problem, for example? And I found out that cognitive behavioral therapy was the main like approach. Okay. There are, of course, other approaches. So I decided that it's not enough for me to just find out all of this information and not do anything about it. How am I going to help my patients when I go back to Oman after finishing my PhD? Because the main reason why most doctors do medicine is to help their patients, not just to find out the reasons why their patients are suffering.
Correct.
Yeah. So I decided to study cognitive behavioral therapy.
Okay.
And I attended courses on that. And then I decided to attend more courses related to other, like, techniques or approaches in psychotherapy that might be helpful for my patients. And then I started that journey with learning more and practicing psychotherapy along with family medicine. Yes.
Beautiful.
And I don't see the two like
separate
because, as I told you, family medicine has a holistic approach
to the patient. To begin with.
Yes.
And you're looking at the whole family, you're looking at the environment, and now the mind.
Yes, because the mind and body cannot be separated.
True.
Yes.
And a lot of it actually originates from the mind, isn't it?
Yes.
A lot of ailments, because it somehow affects our blood pressure.
True.
Even metabolism now, I understand, which leads to the diabetes and everything else.
True. Even stress, which
stress, yes,
is part of life now, has it affects our body in different ways.
Which is where I was really, really impressed, because you connected stress and mindfulness at the event we were attending, Circle of Hope, and celebrating World Mental Health Day. And it's so important to connect the two together. Stress, I know, is good at times, but it also has its negative impacts. Some people thrive on stress because they're performance oriented, but in the long run it does have its impact.
True.
Because of the adrenaline, right?
Actually, there are different hormones and enzymes. For example, it's not just because of the dopamine. It depends on how long it is. For example, if we are subjected to stress for a long time,
yes,
and if we are subjected to even stress for a short time, but stress that is really intense, that we cannot manage, then it affects us more. So when we talk about good stress or bad stress, it depends on different factors. First of all, there is a curve that explains how stress and performance relate to each other. It's available on the internet. Everyone can look it up. When we need some stress to help us perform, mm-hmm, or like get motivated.
Okay.
To a certain point. Once we reach that point, if it increases more than that, then our performance will be affected, our health, relationships, life will be affected. Mm-hmm. So this is different for different people. We cannot say it's exactly the same. For example, you might have the same amount of work with the same as your colleague, but you are not the same person as a personality. You also, your life is not the same. Your other responsibilities, right, are different. You might have more responsibilities at home, for example, as a mother, you have young kids, or you might have someone ill in the family that you need to take care of in addition to the stress at work. So we need to look again at the big picture if we want to understand how does stress affect our health. So it's not just one factor.
Right. So it's again, like you said, the family medicine is not just about health, but it's the whole environment.
Yes.
So we are not just an entity. We are part of the whole system.
Yes.
So we need to look at the big picture all the time. But you said this is where mindfulness helps. Because no matter, yes, you know, some people are so excellent, they can switch on and switch off. When they go home, they switch off from work.
Yes.
And they come to work, they switch off from home.
Yes. Some people naturally can do that, and other people need to learn how to do it. Mm. But I believe in the ability of people to learn new skills and develop and change for the better, for them first, and then for the community as well.
Okay, so before you teach us how to practice mindfulness, I would like to know more about your book.
Okay, so
it's in Arabic.
It's in Arabic. So the name is an Arabic title, of course.
Yes.
I'll say it in Arabic.
Yes.
حديقة الأفكار تقنيات عملية لتغيير الأنماط الفكرية. So in English, the name is The Thoughts Garden. You know, I never thought about the translation. The Thoughts Garden.
Okay.
Yeah. And there is a reason why I called it the Thoughts Garden. There is this, actually, I came up with a title, but then later I read a book that has the same kind of analogy.
Right. So it's, yes,
I'll explain that. If you imagine that you have a garden that you neglected for a while.
Yeah. Okay. So it's full of weeds.
Yes. Weeds, okay. Thorns,
yeah,
you know,
dry plants. Yes.
Exactly. That are not useful, but could, yeah, also be harmful.
Yeah.
And you are not aware of that. Mm. But one day you noticed that this garden is full of all these weeds and thorns and you decided you want to do something about it. So what you need to do in this case is first to remove those thorns and weeds and then prepare the
soil again.
Yes, yeah. And then plant new seeds. Mm-hmm. And you want for these seeds to grow into plants and also to have roots, like new roots.
Yes.
Okay, so how is that related to our thoughts and our mind?
I think it's beautiful analogy. Thank because you. Also plants are seasonal. Because yes. We should accept that after a certain season, they will go and perish. But you also have perennial plants, which should be throughout the year.
So beautiful. Yes, oh, I like the way you linked it to that.
So we have to accept. A lot of times we get stuck with a plant being dead.
Yes, being okay. Dead or harmful.
Harmful, yes.
And that plant, the harmful plant might have roots where we have to dig. We need tools.
Yes.
So, for example, if you imagine this garden is your mind.
Yes.
And this plant... it's been growing in your mind since you were a child, for example. It already has roots. Mm-hmm. Like our beliefs. Some of our beliefs are good. Of course, we don't want to change our beliefs, but we have some beliefs related to ourselves or to our relationships
we
with the world or to
yes.
our relationship with other people. That, yes, limiting beliefs. First, we need awareness. Once we start being aware that I need to change these thoughts or they are not serving me or they are harmful to me, I need to think in a different way. I don't believe in this. You know, in social media, you find sometimes change your thoughts from negative to positive.
Yeah.
It's not always this easy.
It's not easy.
You need to practice the way we practiced the bad thoughts and beliefs for years. We need first to remove them and then...
And it's very difficult. Like you said, the roots could be very deep.
Sometimes, yes, we need to dig. We need tools. So this book is like a book of tools, let's say, that helps you. It's a practical book, by the
way.
Okay. It's not for like you read it before you go to bed. Uh-huh. It's something you read
it.
And you practice the exercises. And I have put QR codes for the exercises so people can actually...
take it with them to the office. Or,
print them or do them like... on their phones or something.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
I wish you'd do this in English as well very fast.
Yes, we're starting with Arabic.
Okay.
And then inshallah, maybe one day, yes. Okay. But because my focus, as I told you, is... there are lots of good books in English.
Yes.
Of course, I don't mind translating my book one day. But in Arabic, we don't have enough practical books.
Mm.
The self-help books or motivational books that we have in Arabic... I will not say all, but most of them are, they don't have practical exercises or tools that can help us change. They promote change, which is good.
But not how to do it.
Yes, how to do it.
So I know this is why I was so impressed when you explained to us mindfulness. So this part now, it's for you to give us an insight on how to practice mindfulness. What is mindfulness to begin with?
Okay. Mindfulness as a concept is very simple. When it comes to practice, I think it is simple as well if we know the principles. And if we are open-minded to the idea of practice, that we have to practice, it takes time. And slowly you get better at it. So first we start with the concept. Mindfulness simply means being in the present moment with intention in a non-judgmental way. So it's a very simple definition, but every word has a meaning. So being means... just to be in the present moment, okay? Be present. The present moment means now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, not the past, not the future. Intentionally, because our minds have been used to be in the past and the future for a long time. So we need to have the intention in Arabic we have this concept of niya, which is yes, to have the intention with anything we do. We need to have the intention.
In spirituality too.
Yes.
Yes.
So we need to have the intention to be in the present moment.
Okay.
And that means if we leave it to our automatic autopilot yes. mind, it will go back to the past and the future. So we need to remind ourselves and bring ourselves back to the present moment. And this idea of bringing ourselves back to the present moment is important because it's natural for our minds to go back to the old habit.
Because it's comfort zone, maybe?
It's what we are used to.
Yes.
Yes. Although there is no comfort in going back to yes. the past all the time.
Because you're reliving if it was a difficult memory.
Yes. Besides, yes. the mind is used to do this. For example, mm-hmm. think about the future because there is this idea the mind wants to protect us from what might happen in the future. Mm-hmm. So if we leave it the way it naturally will go to the future and will tell us about all the possibilities that most of the time never happen, right. actually. But the mind will bring all the possibilities. This might happen, that might happen. You might not be able to reach there. This might not be possible for you. You might, you know, get yes. your car might break on
okay.
the way.
Now I have a question, Dr. Yes. Zakia. Now you said the mind, I remember as a child in yes. the boarding school, the warden telling me when you were sleepy in the morning and you had to get up at 5 o'clock, she said, don't let your body control you, let the mind control you. So okay. if the mind says you have to get up now, you have to. So, you know, the idea was that the mind is the one to be dictating things for you. But now you said the mind also has, maybe it's the mind who's telling me, let's sleep more. But that means you said the tendency of the mind is to go to the past or the future.
Yes.
Then which mind is now trying to control it?
Interesting.
This is so interesting.
Okay, in order to answer that.
Yes.
First of all, we cannot think about our mind as just one entity. Like, so mm-hmm. for example, I'll give you, when I've been asked this question mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. If your mind is this thinking mind, okay? Mm-hmm. And we've been taught that I'm thinking that here, there, therefore yeah. I am or something.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
that's
yes.
that's our mind yes, is yes. everything.
Yes.
But actually, if that's true, sometimes you face a problem where you will be thinking about it and let's say your mind is telling you this is not a good idea. But then another part of you yes. says, no, it's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are already yes. two parts. Yes,
yes, yes. Already, yes.
Yes. So even when it comes to thoughts, you might have different thoughts mm-hmm. about one situation. Mm. The mind we are talking about here, that the autopilot mind that thinks about the future or
is the one who's busy.
Yes, thinking okay. all the time. Okay. In order to know that there is another part to you that can actually manage this mind, the thinking mind. And I say manage, I don't say control. I don't like the word control.
Okay.
Because control means there's
again,
going to
yeah.
be another conflict within
yes.
your mind,
yes.
which is not the purpose.
Okay.
So to manage the mind, you need to reach to a step first where you observe the mind.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So you you observe your own thoughts. And that's right. where mindfulness actually helps you.
Okay.
Once you start being aware of what's going on in your mind, that your mind is thinking about the past or thinking about the future, you will have the freedom of decision. Okay? First of all, you will have, once you start observing, you will have the freedom of deciding, do I want to think about this now? Is mm-hmm. this helpful? Is this useful? Mm-hmm. Is this logical? And there are different
right,
ways to do that.
Right.
Yeah, there are different
Maybe
tools.
Maybe this
to
is
do
where
that.
The intuition arises too?
Intuition is also part of it, but okay. in order to decide,
you must have that clarity.
You must have first the ability to know that you are thinking, what are you thinking about? And then you can decide whether you want to actually go forward and think about it, or maybe it's a problem and you need to solve it, or maybe you want to instead just let it go and come back to the present moment.
Okay.
So mindfulness teaches how to be aware of what's going on in our mind. And mindfulness focuses on just letting it go and coming back to the present. Okay. Now, in my book, the tools will help you to do something in addition.
Okay.
Like if
to
we
practice
go,
it slowly, step by step.
That's one thing. But okay. also, if you notice, if you practice mindfulness and you notice the kind of thoughts that you have in your
mm-hmm.
mind,
mm-hmm.
you might notice that there are repetitive thoughts related to a pattern.
Right. Yes, yes.
Like, why do I always think this way?
Mm.
Without observing your mind, you will not find out. And then you decide, no, actually, this is not, I don't want to think this way. And then you use another tool to help you manage those thoughts and change them. So they're all like, I used cognitive behavioral therapy techniques in my book. And there is an approach that links mindfulness with cognitive behavioral therapy. It's called mindfulness-based cognitive behavioral therapy, where actually the two work beautifully together. Mindfulness helps you to notice your thoughts, and then most of the time, just bring yourself back to the present, while CBT actually helps you to manage those thoughts if you find that they are unhelpful or they are happening more often, for example.
So first we had to find them and then realize what it's about and realize how much dominating they are and if it's a fixed pattern. Maybe that's why we always fall into a pattern.
Yes.
Because we're stuck with these thoughts.
We all have patterns, and these patterns actually have names.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we can get to know the patterns that you have.
Uh-huh.
Different people might have different patterns, but there is like a list of what's called in English cognitive distortions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I translated the name in a simple way in Arabic so that people can understand and maybe like, and I put examples, yes,
yeah,
of them.
Perfect.
If we go back to mindfulness, the purpose of mindfulness actually is to, for you to notice where your mind is and to bring yourself back to the present moment. When it comes to practice, people might say this is difficult, but with time, you will be able to realize that the minute you realize that you are thinking, you are not present. Let's say you are having lunch with your kids, but you are not present there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind is at work, or your mind might be in the future that you have something
coming
like,
up,
yeah,
or
you
worried
need to
about,
prepare
yes.
for or something. The minute you notice that, you need to realize that you are not with your kids anymore because your body is there, but your mind is not there with them. That time is precious. So you need to just take a deep breath and come back to where you are and focus on what's going on around you at that moment.
Wow.
There are different ways to practice mindfulness. One of them is meditation, which I recommend doing daily. And practicing mindfulness during, like, we can choose something as a way to practice. Some people, for example, choose the time when they are praying to practice
yes.
during prayer, which is a good idea. Or even while practicing a hobby or cooking at home. Anything we do in our daily life, we can do mindfully.
Mm-hmm.
It's our choice. The beauty of mindfulness, it gives you the choice of
right.
being present instead of being absent.
Oh, I like it. You're right. We're absent many occasions.
Yes.
And you can, your eyes never lie, and you can tell them, you know, who's present and who's not.
Yes.
So it's very amazing that how it all actually comes down to understanding oneself.
Yes.
And when will the book be available in Oman?
The book is available now
mm-hmm.
at Trawazin Bookshop.
Okay.
It's also available at the publisher's website, Tashkil.
Okay.
They sell it online, and I assume they also sell it at other bookshops outside Oman.
Okay.
Inshallah, it will be available at Muscat Book Fair and Sharjah Book Fair, which
mm-hmm.
is beginning of next month. And we're working now on making the book available at more bookshops here in Oman, in addition to Rawazin, inshallah.
Excellent. I want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
One for your book and also for the wonderful career you are having with such a noble concept of, you know, making sure you're not just telling people what to do to get better, but actually working with them.
Yes,
and,
yes. It's important,
yes.
of course.
Because the mind to be connected with the body, and it's easier to heal that way.
Yes, it's the relationship that doctors have with their patients, actually, mm-hmm. it's a cornerstone in helping patients to get better. Without that good relationship, a lot of our efforts will be wasted. They will not get to the patient, actually.
True. I want to say thank you and wish you all the best, Dr. Zaki Al-Busaidi.
Thank you, Lakshmi. Thank you for this interview.
Thank you. And with Mosaic, I'm Lakshmi Kothnith with Nasra Harasi and Ali Joesh. Until next time, thank you for joining us.